my fetters broke off, I thank God for somebody that preached and for people that prayed. You know, I was thinking, as Arlene was singing, thank you for praying, because the Holy Spirit has just been drawing people to the altar. See, they cannot come unless the Spirit draw them. And he said, you have not because you ask not. But I thank you for asking the Holy Spirit, inviting him to draw, to convict. We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction to grip the heart of the backslider, the lost, so they can't even sit in our church without either leaving or coming to the altar. But thank you for your faithfulness, and I appreciate your offerings. I was thinking today of something I told my brother that's a Baptist ministry in Memphis, and I preached for him there, and we've had wonderful fellowship in his church. I told him, I said, Roger, I don't preach for a living. He looked at me, I said, I'd preach if we never had an offering, because the Lord asked me to go preach. And I remember, and I'm sure the pastor does, and Pastor Johnson, when they used to pay us with poundings, they'd bring a pound of coffee, a pound of sugar, pound, Brother Randy remembers that. And you didn't get that much money, but everybody would bring you a pound of beans or something. And that was how you got most of your groceries, was a pounding. But I don't preach for a living. I give. He said, if you give, it shall be given back to you. And you see, if you give for a living, that way you set your own salary. The more you give, the more you get back. And I'm very honest with you tonight. Arlene and I, for years, we've raised our percentage from 10 to 20 to 30, and raising our percentage, and we take that right off the top, and we give it to missionaries and to little churches that don't have enough finances to support their pastors. And I'm honest with you tonight, every time we raise it, I can tell no difference in how much. In fact, we're more blessed than ever. And so when I want more, I'll just raise it up higher. And I'm going to raise it higher. Hallelujah. Because I'm blessed and I'm a blessing. I'm blessed and I'm a blessing. We're glad for all of you that are here. We give honor to all of our ministers. We appreciate Brother Johnson and Ruth. And we had such a wonderful time there. And our pastor here, Brother Orphelia. I'm so glad that these men of God have a good report within and without. Never take them for granted, because there's so many churches, they would give anything to have a shepherd that would pray for them and that they could have confidence in. So, and we're glad for our other brother preacher that's here tonight, and all of you, and I'm especially glad for all the friends from different places. I'm always glad when Randy and Beth come from Gonzales. I've known them since he was in his 20s. I was thinking about him tonight. Just a young man. I don't think you had any children. I think Beth might have been expecting one. Now they have them that's graduated. But that's how long I've been going to his church. And we're glad you're here, Randy and Beth. You've been an encouragement to us over the years. We love all of you, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and I have a message I believe will help you. Let us stand. Gracious Father, I do thank you for this privilege, and I ask you tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that destroys the yoke, open up ears so they will hear what you're saying. God, let the scales fall from off of eyes so they can see. Holy Spirit, you know the need. And as I minister, I've studied, I've prepared myself, but any way that you want me to go with any thought, I yield to you. And God, I thank you that the anointing will move and that lives tonight, as with every night, lives have been changed by the power of God. I thank you in advance because I have faith that your word will not return unto you without accomplishing that whereunto you send it. In Jesus' name shall we say amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And the 22nd chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the first verse. And it came to pass after these things, God had spoke to Abraham to do certain things concerning Ishmael, and he had obeyed God after a lot of things in his life. After these things, God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, I want you to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want you to get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood to the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said unto his young men, you stay here, abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. I'm going to stop right there, and I'll read some more later. You know, I was noticing as I read that, there's some places in life that you can't take your friends. He told the young men, he said, you stay here. In other words, there's areas of our life that we have to go by ourselves and make a sacrifice. But I noticed that it said that God tested Abraham. And I said, and I want to say tonight, and I want you to underline it, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Everything you've ever preached and every song you've ever sung and every Sunday school lesson that you've ever taught and every time you've ever testified, that will be put in the fire. It will be tested. Was it real or were you just preaching? Is it a part of you or is it just a song you're singing? Is that a reality to you? It said, and God did test him. I wouldn't want to fly a plane without it being tested, would you? I wouldn't want to drive a car that hadn't been tested. And the reason that God tests us, it isn't that he doesn't know whether everything we sing and testify to is a reality. He knows. But because he loves us, he wants you to know. Do you really believe this? Now I'll tell you what. When that test comes, the test of your faith, it's your faith in God. Faith in this word. When I was attacked with cancer, I had preached for years, Jesus is a healer. By His stripes you're healed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I preached that He was El Shaddai. He was Jehovah Jireh. That He would supply and meet every need. But when I was attacked with cancer 10 years ago, everything I preached was put in the fire. But I'm glad that I can stand here and shout and tell you Jesus is a healer. He's still El Shaddai. He is everything I've ever preached. He's everything I've ever sung about. God is real. This is real. Hallelujah. It'll do to die by, and it'll do to live by. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Every word and every promise in the book, you can stand on it. I'm healed. Because Jesus has never changed. He's the same today as He was yesterday. But I want to look at something here. God did test him. Not in order to make him fall, but in order to strengthen him to stand. He said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer up your only begotten son. You know, God had never asked for a human sacrifice before. But here God is saying, Abraham, I want you to take him. Immediately the next morning. Now you're talking about faith. The next morning, I'm sure that his mind, that it was being tormented, and listen to me, but if you'll stand on the word, everything God ever said to you will come to pass. Sure, don't you know that Abraham was a man, and everything, well, how could God say sacrifice him? When he told me that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, how God gave him to me, why, how? But you see, he said, God, I am going to obey you. When I left home, be 51 years this November in the fall of the year, I said, God, I am going to obey you. I don't care where I sleep, and I don't care what I eat, and I don't care what it looks like. You told me to go, and I'm going. And God, if you were to tell me to jump through a wall, I'm going to jump, and it's up to you to make the hole. But I'm obeying God. Say amen. I'm going to do what God says do. Not my concern how he does it. He knows how to deliver the godly out of test and temptation. I don't care how. Just get me out of it. Brother, God knows how. He'll do it. But he did test him. And notice this. He obeyed God. Now, I want to give us a few tests tonight. The way that Abraham was tested, you're going to be tested. I want to give you a few tests. And I want you to be honest. And I want you to hear this with your heart, not your head. Can your faith be tested? Is it real? Listen, God loves you too much. He's going to probe as deep as it takes. Because he does not want you to live with a sham. He wants it to be a reality to you. Because God knows if your faith's not real, you will not be able to stand as the day approaches. So God loves you. All right? Abraham was number one. He was tested by the depths of his devotion. By the depth of faith devotion. Why did God say, take your only son, whom you love. Because God had seen that Abraham was in danger of loving Isaac more than God. Now God's going to get down where you and I live. That he was in danger of loving the gifts more than the giver. God will never willingly let anything take first place in your devotion other than God. He will cause things to happen. But listen, God does not want a place in your life. Listen, people have backslid. The church as a whole is backslid. Because God does not want a place in your life. God does not want a prominent place in your life. He doesn't want prominence. God desires, he deserves, and he demands preeminence in your life. And I want to ask you this tonight, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit burn it down in your soul. Does the Lord God Almighty have preeminence in your life? Is he first? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, the gifts. God's blessed us with families. God's blessed us with children. God's blessed us with fishing boats. God's blessed us with golf clubs. God's blessed us with television. God's blessed us. You see, these things are gifts. I can remember the day we didn't have anything hardly. I'm talking nothing. I remember when we didn't have padded pews and air conditioning. But people loved God days at church and couldn't wait for the doors to be open. But he's blessed us. And we're comfortable. And we love all these gifts. Homes, cars, two cars, boats. All kind of things. But have we put the gifts ahead of the giver? I can't come to church Wednesday night. I got to take my little girl to a dancing school. In other words, you love your family more than you love God. That comes first. Is that it? I can't be there Sunday night. I've got to go fishing with the boys. I can't be there. I've got a favorite television, football game, basketball game. Listen, have we fallen in love with the gifts? And we're no longer in love with the giver. Anytime you put anything ahead of God and his business, his house, you are in idolatry. Dear God, that he might stir us, that we might go back to our first love, that we might, listen, if you was in love with God, if I'm in love with God, the way I should be. I don't have to be beat up and pressured and preached to. But you couldn't keep me out of church. Could you keep yourself away from somebody you're desperately in love with? No, you couldn't. And people say, look, one service is enough for the week. We don't want any more. But I wonder this. Is one television show enough for the week? No. We got to have that every night and morning, noon. How's our faith coming out? I've got faith in God. I want you to know I love God more than anything in this world. He's first with me, really. God saw that he was in danger of loving the gifts more than the giver. Tonight, if you think there's a danger that there's something that you're loving more, the pleasures of life, he said that the word came and you received it. And he said the church received it, but after a while, the cares of life and other things choked it out. There should never be any difference. I remember the day, and I pastored a church for 18 years. And I remember the day we had church Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I'm honest with you, there was no difference in our crowd. What's happened? What is it that's got our attention? If you're sitting here tonight and there's a danger that there's something you love more than the will and the way of God, you are going to hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit and say, take that loved one to Mount Moriah. Take those possessions to Mount Moriah. Take that ministry. Take your ambitions. Take your plans and take it and offer it up there. And do we have the faith in God to say, God, this is it. Live or die, sink or swim, sod or rot, you're coming first. Then the faith is measured by the height of its obedience. How quickly will you obey God? It said he went early the next morning. And he obeyed God. Listen, faith is not believing God without any evidence. Just blind faith. Oh, no. This is my evidence right here. The Word of God is my warrant. This is my authority. I am obeying God. Faith is obeying God. I am going to do what God said do in spite of the consequences. I remember when I said yes to God at the age of 16. Don't tell me that young people still can't make an out and out dedication. I was not born in this type of belief. I wasn't raised in this. But one night I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I spoke in other tongues. I was saved, hallelujah, by grace through faith. The blood washed away my sins. I want you to know I said goodbye, world, goodbye. And everybody in my family cut me off. They didn't even come see me until I was in my 40s, except my mother. My mother came to see me once a year. I left home. I preached in brush arbors. I had a tent. I went from pillar to post. I slept on depot benches. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was, God, whatever you want. That's what I'm going to do. But you know what? I just kept on preaching. They made fun. I'd go home twice a year. They'd get out there and dance and act like they was in the spirit. Then they'd act like they was talking in tongues. I'd just get in that pantry, and we didn't have a very large place, just one bedroom. There was me, and there was my sister, and there was my brother, and there was mama, and there was grandma, and all four of them was in one bedroom, and I was sleeping in the dining room under the table on a cot. But I'll tell you what, I found me a place to pray. I'd get in that pantry and they'd come and knock on the door. Come on out, Elijah. Come on out, Elijah. And I'd say, oh, God. I'll tell you what, though. Hallelujah. I kept going. Oh, I kept going. I said, God, give me grace. Lord, you won't lay more on me than you're able to bear. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you listen to me tonight. The Holy Ghost of God can give you the strength. Oh, hallelujah. I remember my brother Johnny. He's about a little over a year older than I am. And I was in the bathroom getting ready for church before I left home. And I was in there singing, "I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory." He came in that bathroom. You know, he was, I was about 17, so he's 18 and a half. He said, "I don't want you singing that anymore." And he said, "All that old talking in tongues and praying." And so this is the truth. I didn't mean to aggravate him. I just started humming. I absolutely did not. I didn't know. And honey, when I started humming, I raised my hand before God. He hit me beside my head so hard. He knocked me down with one blow. I knew I had the Holy Ghost then. Honey, if I hadn't had it, I'd have rammed the ice pick plumb through him. I'd have killed him. But oh, thank God, I had something within me. I beat the living daylights out of him before I got saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd have killed him. But oh, I want you to know, when he knocked me down, I laid down that floor. There wasn't any temper. There wasn't any hitting. And I got a hole. I knew then, Lord, I'd been born again. I'd have killed him. He knew I could whip him. I got up. I said, "Johnny, you ought not to hit me." I never will forget it. He jumped on his motorcycle and jumped off. And Mama said, "Johnny, you ought not be beating up on your sister just because she's going to Pentecostal church." And he, you know, men are funny. He hadn't been gone very long. The phone rang. He said, Mama answered it, and she said, "John, you ought not hit Peggy like that. She's just trying to do right." I won't talk to her. I said, "Hello, Johnny. Did I hurt you?" I said, "Well, I got to go to work." And I said, my eye, my whole face, he hit me right in there. He said, Reese, I said, it was funny. He said, "I'm going to bring you some chocolate ice cream." You know, they think if they give you ice cream or bring you a rose, it makes up everything else. And I'll tell you what, that Sunday morning, when it came time for church, he said, "I'm going to church with you this morning." Oh, look out now. I didn't know what to say. I was scared to say too much. I didn't know whether to say I'm glad. I just said, "Yeah, that's good." I thought, "Lord, don't say too much, because you said, I ain't going. Because, you know, he knew I was thrilled, and I didn't want to act too thrilled. He wouldn't go. And so we walked to church, and I went in like I always did and sat on the second pew. And so I was scooting over for Johnny, and he never did stop. He went straight to the altar, fell on his knees. Hallelujah. They were singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All My Sins and Griefs to Bear." He cried and he prayed. And then all of a sudden he started crying and singing in tongues. Oh, hallelujah. The glory of God. The glory of God. And then when my precious mother was 75, I said, "Oh, God, help me to live a life. Help them to see Jesus in me. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Strengthen me. I want you to know I got in every nook and corner I could to pray. Oh, I knew that I couldn't make it." And at one Wednesday night, my mother was in service. I said, "Everybody that would like to receive the Holy Ghost, raise your hand." My mama raised her hand. I thought that my mama's misunderstood me. I said, "Everybody," that's a lot of faith, but I'd been praying for years, but it still was too good to be true. I said, I said, everybody that wants to receive the Holy Ghost, raise your hand, but I will put it up again. I thought, well, I'm going to try a little further. I said, everybody that wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, come to front. Here comes my mama, just weighed about 110 pounds, and she come up there, and I can see it like it was yesterday. Sister Arlene was there, and she said, I have received my call tonight for the Holy Ghost. Do you want me to stand or do you want me to kneel? Just that precise. I said, well, why don't you kneel? I thought, Lord, I got to get my breath. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray with her. Oh, I'd want it so bad. And I said, oh, God, I can't give it to her. If I could have, I'd have gave it to everybody there. I said, Lord, but when I lay hands on her, all I ask you to do for me, let her sense the power of God. Let her know it's real, what I preached. I'm talking about, I was in my 40s. I left home at 18. Honey, when I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, I said, the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit of God. Those little hands went up, and she began to speak in tongues and laugh in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah! What am I saying? You put God first. You lay everything else down. You walk with God, live for God. And honey, God will honor you. And when she got up, because my mother never had been immersed, I said, would you like to be baptized? She said, well, I got a pacemaker. Will it short it out? I said, it'll do it good. Hallelujah. We baptized a pacemaker and all. I want you to know tonight, Jesus will do the standby. I've seen sisters receive it. I've seen nephews are now preaching receive it. Oh, but there came a day I knelt. I said, God, mama or no mama, brothers or no brothers, sisters or no sisters, job or no job, I'm living for you, God. Hallelujah. I want you to know when you make a commitment, you're going to see your family come in. When you quit pitching your temper fits and living like a devil and they begin to see Jesus in you, you're going to see the glory. Hallelujah. The glory of God will bring them in. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I like this. This is good. I think of all of my people that have received the baptism. I went to pray for my brother. He was a cursor. That was one of the high-temperedest, meanest things I ever met in my life. I was scared of him. But I remember the day he called me. He's in his 60s. And he went to Dr. Spiotti there in Memphis. And they said, you're going to have a bypass. He had a heart attack. He said, not until I get a hold of my sister. Said, she's got a red line to heaven. And he said, I'm not going to do anything till I get her to pray for me. Never had I ever heard one encouraging word from him. Never had he ever said he liked me, he loved me, he liked me, he was for me. Not one word in all of those years. Not one word that we're proud of you. We're just so glad you're preaching. Nobody said anything, but there was one, thank God, that was cheering me on. And there was one that was taking into account. I went down and he called and he said, Peggy, I said, yes. He said, I want you to come pray for me. I thought, oh, God, what will I do? I went over to his house, and I shook hands with his wife, Hewlett, and shook hands with William, because they never did hug you, and they never did tell you they loved you. They just shake your hand or grunt. And they couldn't say I loved you, because it had never been said to them. So he said, I want you to pray for me. So I knelt down by his chair. And I was just saying to myself, now, Lord, I preached to him. I talked to him about the Lord the best I could every time I got an opportunity. I said, when I lay hands on him, for your name's sake and your glory, do a miracle. I laid hands on him and I said, in the name of Jesus, Father, he's asked for your help. Let every artery in this body open up. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. I want you to know that God miraculously touched him, and he didn't have to have bypass surgery. He told Dr. Spiotti, said, I told you she had a red line to heaven, a red phone to heaven or something. I want you to know, children, you live for God. Glory. God will honor you. Abraham said, I'll obey you. Are you obeying God tonight? I'm going to bring two more points out because I can't preach all night, although I feel the preacher. He was tested by the length of his sacrifice. Faith will go to any length to obey God. Are you obeying him? How's your test done? Is he first? You see, any time you procrastinate, procrastination is a form of disobedience. People have waited to obey God until their vision died, or they waited till the opportunity passed. If you've been not obeying God about teaching, singing in the choir, making a total commitment, there'll come a time that vision in you to be a teacher, to be a nursery worker, to work with children, there'll come a time that vision will die. You see, God wants you to obey him instantly. I tell God practically every day. I say, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. God, I don't care where it is, I'll go. I says, anything you want me to give, you just let me know. Your wish is my command. God, I'll do anything you say to. Now the length of the sacrifice. He offered up Isaac. He was offered up his future. He was offered up his family. He was offered up his fellowship. What was he going to tell Sarah? What was he going to tell Isaac when he had to get him up there on that altar and tie him there and was fixing to run a knife through him? What was he going to tell him? Listen, if God asks you to do something, you don't have to be afraid of God. God loves you. You know, a lot of people are afraid to say yes. They think, well, I'm afraid God will send me to Africa. God will not send you anywhere that you won't love every step of the journey. He puts a love in it for you. You see, you can't roll from bed to bed and sleep in one motel to another. God doesn't like to torture his children. Anything God does speaks to you, you will enjoy it. I didn't say we wouldn't be tested and tried. I'm telling you that the will of God is wonderful. I'm telling you that the will of God is fulfilling. I'm telling you the will of God is the happiest life you'll ever live. And you don't have to be afraid. That'd just be like coming up to a daddy and say, Daddy, I love you with all of my heart. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now I'm really going to make life tough for you. God's not that kind of God. Faith was tested by the wideness of its confidence, not only by the length of its sacrifice, not only by the height of its obedience, but by the wideness of its confidence. Abraham said, I want to read this to you in closing. Abraham said in Hebrews 11th chapter, by faith, in the 17th verse, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. That's past tense. As far as he's concerned, he'd already killed him. Offered him up. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But Abraham had such confidence in God that he believed that God would raise him up even from the dead. That God will keep his word. Listen to me. As long as Isaac was standing there, he could believe. Because there was his son, he could believe that, that from him would come seed. See, a lot of times people can believe when they see the source of their income, their comfort. But in other words, I go from church to church. I can believe God for my finances because I'm going from church to church. No. I believe God. If he told me tonight to go home and stay a year, I'll still pay my bills if he tells me to do it. Because churches are not my source. God's my source, and Jesus never fails. You see, it's easy to say, oh, I know God's going to give me kings and nations because there's Isaac. But now you're talking about faith. Burn him up, ram a knife through him. He said, I don't care if I put a knife plumb through him and my source is dead. I know what God said is true. He will not fail. And God, you'll raise him from the dead. But everything you ever said is coming to pass. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap. I want to bring one more thing out, and there's much I could preach here, but I don't feel that I should. The bottom line, if you love it, let it go. If it's really yours, God will give it back to you. And if he doesn't, thank God he didn't. Because you would just have something that would impede your progress. You know, people are always saying, I want to know God. Oh, I just want to know God. I want to know you better. Now listen, you better watch what you're praying. Because I want to explain what I mean by that while the pianist comes and plays softly. When Abraham climbed up that mountain, God was putting him through the test. And he laid his son on that altar. He would have never known God as Jehovah Jireh. See, that was one aspect of God. He'd have never known him. Anytime you know him in a deeper measure, you're going to go through a fire. How would I know God was a healer if I never had cancer? How would I know that God was Jehovah Shalom if I'd never been through hell emotionally? But I've been in the fire. How'd I know he's peace? Because I've been in a storm and I had peace. How would Abraham ever know? When he came down from that mountain, when he got ready, God said, hold it, hold it. And he provided the lamb. He said, thou art Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He did not know that when he went up the mountain. But when he came down the mountain, he said, I want to testify. I know God in a measure now that I did not know when I went to the mountain. I want to testify that I know God is a God that will provide. How do you know? Because I laid my son on the altar and God put my faith in God, in his word, and his promises. He put him in the fire and God revealed himself to me as a God that will provide. How do I know God will provide? I've had my back up against the wall, could not see how in this world I was going to pay my bills. And I could tell you things that'd be hard for you to believe of how God has met my need. I've had God put money in my dresser drawer that was not there. I could just tell you things that's far out. But I want you to hear me tonight. You know how I know he's a God that provides? I've lived by faith for over 50 years. I've never asked a preacher, what will you give me? I had a fireplace a couple of years ago. I went home and it was in a dry spell. I didn't know this, but when the earth gets dry, that's when things settle. I always thought it would get real wet and if it was going to settle, it'd settle. But I went home and we'd had a dry spell. And that fireplace had sunk and pulled away from my house several inches. I looked and I investigated what it would cost. I got a foundation man out of Fort Smith and he came out there. And he said, I would have to dig everything out, take all the concrete that's been pumped under there, because they'd had a problem before, but they didn't tell me when I bought the house. And he said, I'm going to have to take all that out, and I'm going to have to jack it up and put piers down in there. And he said, it costs you around $5,000. Now, we're talking, Yeah, 2 years ago. I went to the Lord. I said, Father, I need $5,000. I said, Arlene, we need it. Let's agree. I didn't share that with the person. I didn't share it with the preacher. I didn't share it with the church. I never have. I don't have to tell you my needs. He's Jehovah Jireh. Honey, I went to a little church that if you got a few hundred Sunday through Friday, you're doing good. And I want you to know, I got a letter in the mail. And after I left there, the Lord laid me on that person's heart, and they sent me a check for $7,000. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. How do I know he's Jehovah? Never sent me one before, never sent me one since. But they said God spoke to him. I had a need. Yeah, he's Jehovah. But I can tell you tonight that he's a God that'll never leave you nor forsake you. While every head's bowed, I want to talk to you. Is God first? Have you fallen in love with the gifts more than the giver? Have you failed to obey God, make a total commitment? Are you willing to go through any sacrifice because you love him? I want to see the hand of every person in this church say, Sister Peggy, God has spoken to me. I have not been putting God first in every area of my life. There's parts of this message I didn't pass the test. And I want to come tonight and I want to make a new commitment. I want to pray and ask God, forgive me. Some of you have fallen in love with the gifts. Some of you lost your first love. You're not the person you used to be. I want you to raise your hands all over the church. I need to pray. God bless you. Yeah, they're raising it all over. Yeah. 15 to 20, just keep raising them. Just keep raising them. Just keep raising them. So I'm going to be honest with you, Sister Peggy. God bless you, son. I didn't pass the test. And I'm glad God preached through you so that I could come down there tonight and I could get a faith that will be a reality. And then when all hell breaks loose in America and whatever happens, I'll be able to go through the storm. While she sings a closing hymn, I want every person here that if there's any part of this message you didn't pass the test, I want you to come down the front. Let's repent of our sins and coldness and backsliding and indifference, loving the gifts more than the giver. Come on down here. This altar ought to be full from one end to the other. Just keep coming while they sing the closing hymn. Just keep coming. I appreciate your honesty. If you raised your hand, I don't care if you're usher, deacon, elder, teacher, you feel like tonight that you're in a dangerous, precarious situation. God, talk to us tonight. Am I still like I was when I was 18, 16? Would I still preach in the brush arbors? Would I still sleep in unfinished Sunday school rooms? Would I still leave it all? All right, we're going to sing and we're going to ask you to stand. And we appreciate all of you coming. And while we sing a stanza or two, go ahead, brother, lead. Having Jesus. That's beautiful. Just keep coming. We're going to get help tonight. God, I love you more than anybody or anything. God, you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I love you, Jesus. That's one of my favorite songs. And that song has been put in the fire. Forfeit, oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry. Oh, God. I want us to sing that stanza that said, when your friends despise, forsake you, take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. Thou wilt find a solace there. Have you had your friends despise, forsake you? He'll put His arms around you. You'll find a solace. Let's sing that stanza and then we're going to close. Heavy laden, oh yes, Lord. Is there one more you'd like to come make a total commitment? Do thy friends, has your family turned against you? Just keep living for God. Oh, hallelujah. In His arms. Thank you, Jesus. Shield thee, thou wilt find a solace. All right, I'm going to ask the elders and ministers to come, and we're going to pray a prayer with you. Say, gracious Father, I thank you tonight that the Holy Spirit has talked to me. I see where I've allowed other things to come ahead of you. I haven't been that committed, dedicated man or woman that I should have been. God, I hadn't been sold out. You bless me. I've got more than I've ever had in my life. But I found myself being caught up in the blessings. And I've lost my first love. I want you to forgive me. Forgive me. You said in your word, when I bless you, don't forget me. Don't forget me. God, there's been so many days that I forgot you. Lord, tonight, I've asked you to forgive me. And I'm making a total commitment. You said your grace was sufficient. Jesus, you will be the Lord of my life. You're going to come first. If I don't have anyone but you, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to obey you. First of all. All right, let us stand to our feet. I feel the glory. While he sings, whatever he feels led, I'm going to ask Arlene and the minister to come, and let's just raise our hands and surrender. I don't believe I'm going to lay hands on all of you tonight. I believe I'm just going to sing, and we're just going to worship. If the Lord gives me anything for you, I'll tell you. Let's just worship. Go ahead. Boro, boro, barashakataya laha. Lives are being changed. Go ahead. You've heard the message. You've heard the message. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, yes. Tell him how much you love him. Just make that commitment. See, it's up to you. Make that commitment in Jesus' name. That's it. Come on. Just talk to him. Jesus, I love you better than anyone on earth. I love you more than anything. I love you more than anybody. I love you more than houses of land. God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'm happy all the day. God, I love you. I'll do anything you ask me to do. I'll go anywhere you ask me to go. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for these people that are making total commitments. I come against every demon that's been released against them in the name of Jesus. I come against every evil spirit of discouragement and depression and hindrance in their life. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I render you helpless to work. Oh, God, release your glory. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. And the burden of my heart. Jesus, you're coming first with me. I'm going to love you better than anybody or anything. All the day. For crimes that I groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity. Grace unknown and love beyond. Oh, that's it. How Jesus loved you. God, you're coming first with me. At the cross where I first, yes, of my heart rolled away. Oh, glory. By faith. Yeah, we're going through. We're going through. Our whole life's going to change. God, we're going to be on fire for you. God, we're going to do anything you say do. We're going to obey you. Glory. Here, Lord, I give myself to thee. 'Tis all that I can do. Everybody sing it now. At the cross. And the burden rolled away. It was there by faith. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you. I want to mention on the tape table tonight, there's many tapes. I was just thinking of one called Acting on the Word. It'll build your faith, the blood covenant. But you go there and you look at them and then ask the Lord or ask me or Arlene. Tell me what your need is and I can get the one that'll help you. But God bless you as we turn it back over to the pastor here. We love you. I'll see you Sunday morning at 11 and 6 o'clock Sunday night. God bless you, Pastor.